Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. We're on the seventh mystery of Matthew 13 tonight. Pray this will be a blessing to you. I hope you've not been too bored with this, but there's several other mysteries I'm going to try to cover before I quit with this and go on to something else. And I think tonight I'll answer some questions for some folks. Not everybody agrees with what I'm going to teach tonight. There's a lot of different opinions. That's like elbows. But we're in Matthew 13, verse 47. And pray this will be a help to us tonight. It's been a good day in the Lord's house. Amen. God's doing things. He wants to do more things, but he has a miracle to do. But I like what that line in the song, he needs to hear from you. Hey, we have not because we... And sometimes we ask amiss. And so that's just like not asking. And so you're not going to get it that way. But if we ask with the right broken heart and a contrite spirit, if we ask it within the will of God, somebody asked me to pray for a miracle one time. I said, I'm careful about miracles. I just don't ask God for miracles. I mean, I've got to be burdened to ask him for it or I'm asking amiss. And so... But he's gave a few. I've seen a few. I've seen a few miracles. And he is able. You found Matthew 13, verse 47. Shout amen.
Amen.
Again. Over and over, we've heard this throughout this particular chapter. The Lord Jesus speaking. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. Now that statement right there has confused a lot of people. We'll expound on that in a moment. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Father, I thank you for helping us be here tonight, Lord, enabling us to come, giving us health and strength. We thank you for the good singing. Praise the name of the Lord. We thank you for each one that's gathered in this house tonight, God. This is opportunity, seed sowing time. Help me, God, fill my mouth, guard my tongue, and preach me inside the bounds of this book, and use me, Lord, to help me to be accurate in the scripture. God, I'm praying, Lord, that you'd be pleased with what we try to do. Not here to put on a show or be seen of men. No personal agenda. When you're through with me, call me home, and I'll come to the house. And I'll see you there, Lord. I'll see you there, and I'll see a lot of others there as well. And I'm glad for the promise of this book. I'm thankful for these that are here tonight. Now, help me, God. I know this is old news to some that's here, but we refresh our minds, stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, thank you for everything you do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, I know, I never did like school. I never did like it. If they just took me in there and said, "What do you want to learn?" and gave me that, then I'd like it. But they tried to teach me stuff I didn't enjoy, and so I was a very poor student in some places. But if they'd put me in a history room and tell me stories and let me read about stories, oh, man. Now, I was a happy camper then. But if I had to learn what a vowel meant and all this, listen, I wasn't going on Wheel of Fortune. I didn't care. But I want to glean some things out of the Word of God. I want to know things in the book. Yeah, I've been taught. I mean, my mama drugged me to every kind of little church in the county when I was growing up. We never did stay very long in any one place. And I don't know why that was, but I'll tell you what it done. It helped me adapt to different denominations and churches, and it don't matter where I'm at, I can go to church. I'll let you do what you do, and I'll do what I do. And you're not, look here, you can lay down on the floor if you want to. Hey, whatever you want to do, I'm just going to do what I do. But there's been a lot of misunderstandings in this, and as I was talking about school, one thing they always wanted to do, they wanted to review. Well, I need a lot of review in order to remember what I've studied. Let's review quickly what we've covered. What is a mystery? Amen. It's all right. You can just shout it out. We don't care. I ask you a question to get a response. So it's a hidden truth, but it's now being something and it's now being revealed. Jesus is revealing some things they never heard before. This is all brand new to the Jews. And we know that Matthew shows him as the king. It's primarily written for the Jews to show him as Messiah and king. Now, here's what we've done. In Matthew 13, it covers the period from Christ's rejection to his return. Thank you. Now, here's the parables or the mysteries that we've looked at thus far. The sower. We learned about that and who Jesus, he's the sower, he's the word, he's the seed. It falls looking for some good ground. Only 25% of the ground was good that the word and the seed from the sower fell on. That should tell us today, few there be that find it. Now we go from the sower to the tares and the wheat. The tares and the wheat is comparable to what we're going to cover in this tonight. Now, we go from the tares and the wheat to the mustard seed. We go from the mustard seed, we learned about that, to the leaven. We learned that leaven in the Bible is always used in a negative context. So we can't say that it was the gospel growing into all this thing when he said, few there be that find it. That would be contrary to the words of Jesus. So though the gospel has been gone out, or has gone out, and the church has grown, and the bride is being developed, and the body is growing, we know that that leaven, according to Scripture, can't represent the church and the growth thereof. That's contrary to many old commentaries that you'll read. We find this, that we go from the leaven to the treasure. I think the Bible's pretty plain in describing the treasure, defining it in Exodus as Israel particular, and there it is, and the treasure is hid in a field. Jesus expounds that the field is the world, and the treasure is hid in the world. Israel was dispersed. They're all over the place. Within the time of Paul, Paul found Jews in synagogues in a multitude of places he went to, and they caused him more grief than anybody else. Then we come to the pearl last week. Not everybody agrees with that the pearl is a picture of the church. But for me, understanding in the Scripture, I can't see it as anything else. You don't have the ability to buy it. He bought us. I think that's enough to settle the question right there. We come tonight to the last of the mysteries of Matthew 13, and here's what we're seeing tonight. It's a culmination of all these things. I had never seen this, and I read something this afternoon, and he wanted to compare these seven to the last seven churches. Whew, that train wrecked me. I've never done that. I've got to look into that. Just never seen that before. Now I know, hey, I'm slow, but eventually I'm going to get there. But these seven mysteries to the seven churches. Well, I'm looking at Laodicea because we're on the last one. I flipped over and just gleaned a little bit from it. Looked at it. I think it could be. Jesus is saying this again. Here's what we're going to see in these few verses that I read tonight. At beginning in verse 47, Jesus speaking, and again the kingdom. So here, let's look at this the last of the seven mysteries of Matthew 13 and consider tonight the dragnet. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a net. Now what would this net, what would we think, could we say that this net is? I think it's safe to say that the net is the gospel. I think it goes out. Why would you say that, preacher? I'm going to do you a little reading tonight. Just sit and listen, and you can find this later. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We see them casting a net. Now we know in Scripture often the sea represents the world. It is the world. So we have the net of the gospel. It's being cast into the sea. I think that's pretty plain. Now, I'm going to read you something else here out of John and 21. And here's what happened. And Jesus, the disciples have been out fishing all night. They've not caught anything. Jesus said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. They wasn't casting in the right place. But when they did, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Simon Peter, verse 11, went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Now, Peter is casting. We see the net broken in Luke 5. Then we see later when they cast the net and they pull it in, they get some help and they retrieve it. Here they cast the net, they bring it in, and there's a particular number, and I've researched this, 153, and nobody agrees on what that means. One fella said it like this. He said it was so uncommon for them to catch that many in a drought or in a draw that they marked that number and always spoke of it. One time they caught 153. I think it was interesting that they caught one of every kind. I think we see that in this particular passage. It's at the end of the age. That's why I'm in agreement with my brother that said he thought it lined up with the seven churches. I've got to research that. But the church of Laodicea is at the end of the age. And here's what the church is saying. We're rich and increased with goods and have needs of nothing. He said this poor, wretched, miserable, naked and blind, they need some eye salve put on because they couldn't see. Now, with that being said, I think that's descriptive of a modern day church. Church is sitting full of lost people. I mean, it's a party. It's a gathering. There's not much brokenness and no power. You can't be saved without the power of the Holy Ghost. You got to get sick before you want to get better. You'll never go to the doctor as long as you're well. But the moment you get sick, and when that sickness becomes so bad that you can't do anything about it, finally us men break down and say, you know what? I've got to go to the doctor. If you get to hurting bad enough, you'll seek some help. You'll go to the doctor. So with the Spirit, it's not that the Spirit isn't available. Here's what Jesus said concerning that last church. He said, hey, I'm standing at the door knocking. Now, we use that in salvation all the time. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice, open up me. I'll come in, sup with him, and he with me. But he's talking about the church. He's a knocking. After the rapture, there'll be a multitude of churches gather again the next Sunday and wonder what happened. Randy, Brother Randall sang it the other night. If the rapture was yesterday, where would you be today? See, I don't like the word rapture. Called up. That's the Bible word. Means the same thing. That's for them that don't like it. I believe it's safe to say what this net represents. And though it's catching a multitude, everything in the net isn't good. Remember, what this covers the period of Christendom from the rejection of Christ to his return. And this is literally the return, not the appearing. That was hard for me to distinguish between them two for years. I'm thinking, every time we talk about the coming of the Lord, one guy accosted me before revival one time, called me into his office, said, "Don't you start preaching none of that coming back, white horse stuff, rapture of the church." He said, "I had a hot dog evangelist come down here and try that one time. That's not going over." And for the life of me, I didn't intend this, but I preached on the coming of the Lord every night in that revival. He sat on the front row going, "Whoa!" Confused. Some of you know who that is. I won't tell you. We go from the net, every kind, which when it was full, so now we've come to a fullness. A fullness. I know this bores some folk, but this is Bible all the way tonight. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." This is another one that I'll briefly cover in a future date. "Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And there's one of every kind here. But we come to a fullness of this net. The Bible says this. Here's what the Bible says. During the tribulation period, there are going to be some people saved. And everybody don't agree with that. Some of my Free Will Baptist friends think I'm a heretic for preaching that. But now when the Bible says, "These are they that were saved out of great tribulation," they ain't but one of them. It cannot mean anything else. They were saved out of great tribulation. Now I'm saved from the wrath to come. And what is the tribulation? According to Revelation 16, it's the wrath of God that's poured out on this world. I'm going to miss that because I'm saved from the wrath to come. But there's going to be somebody enter into that wrath. It may cost them their head, but it'll save their soul. Now there's going to be some Jews. There's going to be a number of Jews that are going to be sealed. They're going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and nobody's going to like them. And I'm telling you what, some's going to hear it. At the end of the age, who's in the net? One of what? Every kind. Now here's what happened. When that thing's full, they drew it to the shore. Every sea has a... And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels. Now, the gathering is of all types. Lord, don't let this confuse anybody right here. For a long time, I had I had difficulty trying to separate this event of the church going away, the Lord, the bride of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, Brother Larry, all them things transpiring, taking place, and then the Lord coming back. And when I read Matthew 24 and 25, it just train wrecked me. And because if your Bible has a heading in it like mine, and I've got 15 Bibles, may have 20. And then you read the heading over one, and it'd say, "Here's the great tribulation." You'd read it in another one. They'd say, "No, this is the tribulation period." And so it just kept me a little bit confused. If this happens after tribulation, when did this happen? Well, and there is a tribulation period, by the way. There's coming a time, the time of Jacob's trouble, and there ain't never been another time like it on the earth. And I'm just going to tell you, It's better to be saved now, and when the horn blows, hey, we fly on out of here, go to glory, go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, than sit here and try to refuse the mark of the beast so we wouldn't buy our sail and damn our sail forever. Now listen to this. What I just read you. And they're going to sit down and gather the good into vessels, but the bad they're going to cast away. This is a gathering of all types. Matthew 24 and 31 said, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. What does that mean? That means he's gathering the ones that's there. Gathering. Now, when is this? We believe that it's at the return, when the Lord is returning to claim it, set up his kingdom and set on his throne in Jerusalem. See, that's, some would say, well, I'm just going to tell you, that's never happened. He didn't come as a king the first time. He came as a lamb. He came for to be the sacrifice for the sin of the world. That's why Jesus came. He came to die. But the next time when he appears, he's going to appear for his bride. It's going to be like when I used to knock on Branch's door to get Pat, and he'd just as soon I wasn't there. But I wouldn't go away. Who was I coming to get? I wasn't coming for him. I really didn't care if Branch was there or not. It was Pat that I was after. What are you saying? He's going to come for his bride, that's what I'm saying. He's going to come back, and he knows who he's coming for, and he knows who they are. Hey, he knows everyone that's his, and he's not going to take anything that isn't his, but he's not, I'm trying to calm down. He's not going to leave anything that is his. He's going to take us with him. But then when he comes back, heaven's a pretty big place, you know. He's going to gather them up. And then he's coming back. Now listen to this. This is after he's returned in glory. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. It's never happened yet. But it's going to happen. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Are we seeing something familiar here with 13 and chapter 25? And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Are you with me? I'm not going to read all the rest of that. But I think we're getting the point here. That they're gathered, they sit down, the good into vessels. You know what you put in a vessel? Something you're going to keep. You're going to put it, if you're going to keep something, that's what you put in a vessel. You're not going to waste a vessel on something you're not going to keep. Am I boring you to death? Here's what it says, verse 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. Now that's a train wreck. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth. Is that it? How's that going to be it if he's setting up the kingdom at that time? This was just confusing, but the word world there means age. Look it up in the Strong's Concordance. It's A eon is how it's pronounced. I looked that up. They've got it broke down for you. A-I-O-N, but in the Greek, A-E-on. Corbin, am I close? You're the Greek guy. It means age. So here we go. Here we go. At the end of the age. Look here. Grace dispensation's passed. That particular thing's done. The kingdom's about to be set up. We've went from, you remember what we went through, them all them dispensations? And a lot of my free will friends don't agree with me on that. But look, a lot of my independent friends think I'm twisted up on that. But if they can be wrong if they want to. I don't care. And you start over here with creation, government, mankind, come through the law, come through all these things. While I'm glad for the dispensation of grace. We were born in the best one, but it holds us to a higher responsibility than those at other ends of it. Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum was woe unto them because they had the light, the presence of God, Christ himself, and he couldn't do things there because of their unbelief. They just wouldn't recognize him for who he was, and they were held to a greater responsibility. That's the way people in dispensation of grace are going to be. So at the end of the age, the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just. The time of collections at the end of the age or the end of the world. But then I go back to Matthew 25 to find out what else occurs when this thing's over, Dan, when he's at the end of this age, and he's setting up, he's going to rule for 1,000 years. And just prior to that, here's what he said. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. People mock and make fun and they just don't. One professor of a seminary, it was in 1989, it goes that far back. Think how liberal they are today. If he said this in 1989, hell just doesn't exist anymore. I've got his name written down on a piece of paper at home. He's probably dead and in hell today. I mean, if you can't believe that hell's real according to this scripture, and Jesus preached on it more than he did heaven, then surely you can't believe that he's the Son of God. It's not Burger King's Bible here, have it your way, tear the pages out you don't like. Hey, it's his way or no way. He said, when he says here, here's what's going to happen. He'll cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what that means? They're going to be cast into the fire. And it's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Who is that? The unsaved. The ones that weren't gathered and put in a vessel. This vessel don't look like much to the world, but to the Lord, hey, it's his. Anybody ever show you a baby and think it's the prettiest thing in the world, and you know it's not? And they say, here's, now the next one I tell this to, you're going to say, I know what you're saying, preacher. Here's how you avoid that. That's a fine baby. They're all fine, but they ain't all pretty. It's just how it is. Hey, look here. Some of us look that way, they say, that's an odd looking child, yeah. But here's what the Lord says. You know the one that thinks that's the prettiest baby they ever had? The one it belongs to. You know what the Lord says about us? That's the best looking bride I ever seen. she's mine. Now don't get twisted up on some gender perverted ignorant something here. We're the bride of Christ just like the girls are the sons of God. Hello. And he says this about his bride. I love you. I loved you enough I died for you. And I want you with me. And I said it this morning, it's worth repeating tonight. He didn't make anyone for them to die and go to hell. Everyone he made, he wants to be his. But we choose to whom we belong. That's why I'm a Free Will Baptist. I believe you got to choose it. I'm glad that he come by and pricked my heart one day. He's a good God. He's faithful. His word is true. Now you may not agree with what we've covered tonight, and you may see that in some other way. Some of my personal friends thinks it's a one and done thing. Bang, God comes back. All these things I read in Matthew takes place. General resurrection, one and done. I just disagree. And I love them. But we disagree over some other things. But I'm telling you, there's some things we don't disagree on. We don't disagree on the virgin birth. Jesus is born of a virgin. A man never touched that girl and she had a baby. God touched her. We agree on a virgin birth, and we agree on this. We agree on a sinless Savior. Amen. He never let the sun go down on his wrath. When he was angered in the temple and drove them out of the Father's house and said, it's a house of prayer, you've made it a den of thieves. When he drove them out of the temple, he done that with righteous indignation, and there was no sin involved. We believe and agree that a sinless Savior went to a cross on Calvary's hill. And it took incorruptible blood to satisfy God. And ain't nobody ever had that but Jesus. We agree that they put him in a tomb and rolled a stone up to hide the body. Sealed it as best they could. Set a guard. We believe that 3 days later, the angel rolled the stone back to show him he wasn't in there anymore. And he come out without the stone ever being moved. So we agree on a resurrected Savior. We agree on this, that 40 days after his resurrection, he stood somewhere on the Mount of Olivet and was received by a cloud back to the Father. And we agree that he's seated at the right hand of God making intercession for us tonight. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. That means when you get mad and kick your neighbor's cat out of the garbage can, that he'll intercede for you. You might call it old Tom or something like that, or something worse. And we agree on this. That he's a coming back. Now, we all agree he's coming back. Some just disagree on the time he's coming back. But I'm going to tell you, according to the scripture, I'm looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to appear in the sky. And the Bible said, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Where are we going to meet him? Where are we going to meet him? And so shall we ever be at the Lord. But I think we learned tonight that after a period of 7 years, he's a coming back to his throne. Who's a coming with him? J. Vernon McGee said you don't have to if you don't want to. Now I've thought about that a lot. I can't find any Bible to dispute him on that. He said you can stay if you want to. Now I just read he's going to collect them from all four corners of heaven. Everywhere, all over the place, go and gather them up. But McGee says, once we're gathered, you don't have to, He going to let you go or not? Then he says, after the new heaven and the new earth is set up and the city's hung in the sky, you can go just like this. I don't disagree with that. Now, I know that's way out there for some of you. But I'm just going to tell you, a virgin having a baby is way out there. A man getting up out of a grave on his own power, that's way out there. A cloud receiving a man out of our sight up into heaven, that's way out there. Someone seated at the right hand of God talking for Mike McCoy, I'm telling you, that's way out there. Hey, and him coming back to receive me unto himself. Some say that's way out there. That's where I'm going to be. Way out there, praise God. I believe that. Not everybody does. Come get us a song. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.